Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Comic strips have been part of American newspapers for more than a century, dating back a few years before 1900, and a father and daughter have been leaders in their own respective packs. The work of the late Brumsick Brandon Jr. and his daughter, Barbara Brandon Croft, spans decades. Brumsick's work dates back to the 1960s, among the first black newspaper cartoonists to become nationally syndicated, and in 1989, his daughter Barbara became the country's first black woman cartoonist in the mainstream press. It is groundbreaking work that still resonates today. All of this has been transformed into an exhibit at the UC Davis Design Museum. It is called Still, Racism in America, a Retrospective in Cartoons, which showcases the work of Barbara Brandon Croft and her late father. Barbara joins us now, along with curator Tara Nakashima Donahue, about the installation, which runs through April. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
So, Barbara, to get acquainted with you, I read your work titled One Cartoonist Story, a Mini Memoir, and it brought such a big smile to my face. I couldn't help but think that you were clearly destined for this from just your natural talent to draw, obviously having your father, a mentor under one roof. But it also seemed like art and humor and also not being afraid to have a voice were formative fixtures during your childhood and within your home.
It sure. I grew up with my dad, who was this political cartoonist, you know, and he kept his work on the walls and it was ingrained. I was, you know, ensconced in all of this kind of way of looking at life and looking at the world. So I didn't even know I was being trained, or I didn't look at it that way. I was immersed in it, and it made me the cartoonist I am today.
I would love to learn more about your father. What drew him to a career in comic strips?
He always wanted to be a cartoonist. So even when he was a kid, he was drawing constantly. His first comic strip was in the 40s, I'm sure, because he moved to New York. He's from D.C., and he moved to New York and to go to NYU. And he would go with what the cartoonists did then is there was a day that you took your cartoons to different magazines. And I think one of his first ones was the Saturday Review that he sold a gag, you know, cartoon.
Saturday Review of Literature.
Saturday Review of Literature, yes. And he always wanted it. And he actually always wanted to have a syndicated comic strip, which no black men were doing at the time when he wanted, as long as he wanted. He became one of the three black cartoonists. Maury Turner, We Pals, from this area, and Ted Shearer with Quincy, and then my dad with Luther.
Wow. And then you were following behind, unbeknownst to you at
yes.
the time, but your work as a cartoonist debuted in 1989 in the Detroit Free Press, and
yes.
at that time you became the first black woman cartoonist to be in the mainstream press. Your series was called Where I'm Coming From. What inspired it?
So I was asked to come up with an idea for a comic strip, not for Detroit Free Press, for another publication. And I was like, it was a black woman's magazine. I was like, you know what, I'm going to do black women talking and speaking their minds. And, you know, I, you know, reflected on my own thoughts and my friends. And I was like, I can make this work. And they liked it. Unfortunately, they folded. So I had this comic strip. When Detroit was looking for more black cartoonists, they asked my dad, does he know of any? And I was like, me, I'm one. And I sent it to them and they liked it. So I've been very fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, these comic strips, as comic strips are, I mean, they're cartoon characters, but you had a cast of black women dealing with real life issues, relationships, sexism, and racism.
Yes, yes. I actually, when I initially was going to make the cartoon, it was going to be a different person every time. So it was just a different black woman's perspective every time. But, you know, once it was becoming a weekly, they're like, we need to, you know, get this down a little bit. So it ended up being like 9 characters. I couldn't whittle it down any further than that. But, you know, it's just the point. I'm glad that I have a cast of characters, cartoon characters, that weren't caricatures. Mm. You know, they were actual women talking about what's going on.
What kind of response did you receive? I mean, this was nationally syndicated.
Yeah, I got a lot of nice responses. You know, mostly people saying, you know, how did you know what I was thinking? This is exactly what I was living. You know, this is what I'm feeling. And then I got some not-so-fan mail, you know, from people who think just, maybe they didn't even read it, but, you know, just thinking by virtue of it being a black woman, that it was anti-men and also anti-white. And I'm like, are you reading it? Do you understand what I'm doing here? You know, so, you know, well, what are you going to do? That's just the nature of doing a comic strip, you
yeah.
know?
I mean, you persevere and you, yeah. And you keep doing it,
yeah.
right? And I was reading on your website, I mean, you had this really powerful quote that, you know, both your father and yourself are among the first to have black characters drawn by black hands in the white press. I mean, what did that kind type of agency teach you from a young age to now?
I watched it with my dad because when he was, before Luther, he was doing comics and editorial cartoons for the black press. And there's a certain freedom that you feel when you can just say what you want to say and put it out there. So, and the fact that I was initially asked by a black woman's magazine to do it, I felt that same freedom. Mm. And I saw it. You know, I was like, that was something I understood. So it does give you a certain sense of agency. And you know, like, this is my point of view. This is what I'm saying. And, you know, kind of in your face kind of thing, which, you know, I'm not mean. I'm a kind person. But I'm like, I'm just upfront and honest, you know.
Tara, that brings me to you. I mean, how did you become connected to their work? Because this now has transformed into an art exhibition.
Yeah, I had been curating exhibits on and off for several years, and I was curating an exhibition where I was pushing myself to really find female cartoonists and spotlight female characters. And so I reached out to Barbara. I was doing some research and I came across her name in a Trina Robbins book on women cartoonists, and there was Barbara, and I was like, oh, I recognize her work. I wonder if she's somebody I can reach out to. I'd really love to spotlight the first nationally syndicated black cartoonist in mainstream press, female cartoonist. And there's she responded. I invited her to this exhibition, and subsequently in the group exhibitions I did, I continued to invite her, and our relationship grew from there. It was really amazing to get to know her work and her father's work. And a lot of what you can find is the Luther comic strips that Barbara mentioned earlier and that you've mentioned earlier. And so in meeting Barbara, we would meet like during lunch or after work sometimes. She would bring Freedom Ways this journal that Mr. Brennan cartooned in the 60s and the 70s, actually through the 63 through 85. And she was going through the archives of her father's work and would just bring things for me to look at. And that's how I came to know their work.
Yeah. And it's all led up to here in yes. Davis, at UC yes. Davis, at the Design Museum. And the exhibit is called Still, Racism in America, A Retrospective in Cartoons. So, I mean, that title itself, like, I get a good understanding of the intention behind this exhibit. Mm-hmm. What conversations did the two of you have about the value of having people look to the past to gain a better understanding of what faces us as a society today?
Initially, I thought of it as a book. You know, I thought that it would make sense to do my dad's comic strip or cartoons next to mine, years apart, and how not only were we talking about the same issues, we were getting the same kinds of responses. Not all of them were kind, right. And we'd have the same kinds of responses. And I was talking to Tara about it, and she was like, this could be an exhibit. I was like, a what? and she was right. And we put this together, and that's exactly what it does. We don't even, the little labels by every piece that you'll see in the exhibit is just the year. And it's, she curated. So it covers so many issues. But underneath, you'll see, you might read it and say, this just came out. This must have been drawn yesterday. And it's like, oh, 1974. You know, it's,
and then 83, and then 92, and
right.
then 2000s, and yet it's yesterday as well.
And still, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, are we going to get past this?
Well, especially today, I mean, the pace of news and current events is so fast, you know. I mean, we're inundated by it. So I think it's good to take that pause and that hard look back to, you know, we're not in many ways in a new time, you know, just a continuation of what has been happening over the decades. I'm curious, Barbara, given that the work in this exhibit is just so deeply ingrained within yourself and your family, when you took in the exhibit for the first time, what was it like to take in decades of work in totality?
It blows my mind, you know. I every time, this is the third iteration of Still. We did it first in New York. And I remember Tara and I, night after night, going through stuff and trying to put things into order and, you know, just trying to think about it. And then when I arrived at the exhibit, I was blown away. She did an incredible job of what we talked about, you know, and each time we do it, it's a different space, so it's a different way to approach it. And so, you know, again, yesterday I was blown away. I was like, wow, look at this. This is great. So, yeah.
Tara, since this started as an idea of yours, I mean, and now it's in its third iteration, what kind of response have you received that kind of sticks with you and keeps you doing it?
It's the look on people's faces when they leave the gallery and how intent they are and reading through all the cartoons as they've been laid out. Often when you go to exhibitions, you see people sort of moving quickly, but this exhibition really draws people in and they're really pausing at each cartoon and just moving very slowly through the space. And I'm really, it's really been amazing to see people spending that much time and then also just hearing their responses after, people feeling incredibly moved, horrified, needing to take a break, and also revisiting the exhibit, which is always an honor when people spend that much time with the work.
Tara and Barbara, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, welcome to Sacramento. That is Barbara Brandon Croft, the nation's first Black woman cartoonist in the mainstream press, and curator Tara Nakashima Donahue, and they are discussing their exhibit Still, Racism in America, a Retrospective in Cartoons. It is at the UC Davis Design Museum, which showcases the work of Brandon Croft, as well as her late father, Brumsick Brandon Jr. This exhibit runs through April. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. You can also reach out to us. Send us an email at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky and managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer and audio engineer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. And our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. We'll